that we may evermore feel within us the fruit of thy redemption. Feelings are funny things. Our feelings have been manipulated, lo, these many months now, in the great reset, and that's been no fun. We are meant to feel sad, stressed, solitary, suspicious of others, even family, and subjects, like a good slave, soulless. Now, we know that feelings are not entirely to be trusted. They can do us in on many an occasion. Your faith, say, that's a matter of fact or revelation. And your firm belief, it doesn't matter what you feel about these doctrines. Facts are, as they say, stubborn things. You may not feel like obeying the commandments tomorrow or doing the dishes this evening or saying your prayers before you go to bed tonight. In saying them, you may feel absolutely nothing except very tired. No sweet devout sentiments, no inner peace. Oftentimes it's just dryness, isn't it, and dull duty. Distractions, and even worse, temptations. Why do I even bother? You might ask yourself. But see above, duty. I know it, even if I do not feel it. It is man's obligation to glorify his Lord God, to elevate the heart and the soul to God in prayer, which means that we adore there, and we thank, and we grieve over our sins, and we implore. Perseverance in prayer above all else. Sometimes it's so dry, as I say, so difficult, that you'd be tempted to give up, but actually, that could be your very best prayer, far more pleasing to God than the sweet, satisfying kind of holy feelings you could get, because we're persevering and seeking God humbly. And what could be better than that? Even, especially, if I feel nothing. One day you could feel good and holy when you come to church, peaceful and focused at Mass. But that may be simply because it's a beautiful morning or your digestion is working well and you've had a good night's sleep. Conversely, prayer may be hard if you're coming down with a cold or it's one of those days that everybody and everything is coming at you all at once. While we Catholics don't put a lot of stock in feelings, the Church, Christ, is always trying to stir up, to engage our emotions. Why? They are part of our human nature. We're meant to harness them because they can be a help with holiness. Coming to church on a day like this, with the Blessed Sacrament exposed and the beautiful High Mass, all of the candles and the flowers, might give you a feeling of awe of God's majesty, of mystery, and memories too. Well, there are memories of First Communion's past, maybe your own, and the innocence of the little ones in white back again this morning. Nostalgia. How different from Lent, say, or a Good Friday, or a funeral. The dark and the death, the black, the purple-shrouded statues, and grief. And is ever guilt very far away when we pray? I'm thinking of feelings today, not only because of this paradox, that means a seeming contradiction. In other words, you're not your feelings. They don't get to dictate reality. And yet, they do have an important role to play. But this paradox, this contradiction, is almost a defining characteristic of Catholicism. But also because feeling, of all things, is the key for you to open up and to see the mystery of the Holy Eucharist. Why did God give us the Mass and Holy Communion, which that blessed sacrament, which the little ones will be receiving for the first time today, and the Mass, which some of you have pretty much grown up with. So what's the Mass? The Mass is the memorial of Christ's passion and his death. It's not a mere remembrance, not a reenactment like a play or a Civil War battle. No. It is a making present here and now. The only difference between Calvary and the Mass is that this is an unbloody sacrifice. It is the way our Lord chooses to apply the merits of his passion and death to our souls, for the salvation of mankind, for my salvation. Why the Mass? So that the mystery of his death, which gives us life, may appeal to human hearts most deeply. In other words, it's not just a fact I store in my head, it's something I feel in my heart. It appeals to the human heart, because this is all the clear proof of the love of Jesus Christ for me. He loves me. You have to say it again. He loves me. And he gave himself for me, St. Paul writes succinctly to the Galatians. The mystery of the Mass is a heart-to-heart mystery. He loves me. And it is our way to answer the appeal of the Sacred Heart. You love me. It's not just an event of long ago, to be read about sometimes in a book, to be imagined in your thoughts, even just to be prayed or meditated over. If so, it would remain remote. One mere fact at such a distance from us. But that today, he comes, but that today he dies in a few minutes upon this altar, renewing his act of the greatest love. And he would do it all over again if one of you were the only one who needed it. St. Paul again summarizes how the non-Catholics can understand this is beyond me. It's right in their Bible too. As often as you shall eat this bread and drink this chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. All of this is continued in today's collect, which was composed by the great Thomas Aquinas. It's a concise expression of our whole faith in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, in a collect, we're always asking for something. What's our petition? Yes. Feeling that we could feel within ourselves the fruit of thy redemption. Our petition on this day of days, the French call this feast day, remember, la fête, the feast of God, because all that God is and has done for us is summed up in this sacrament. What do we ask for? We don't particularly ask today to believe. We do believe. This is the mystery of faith. Nor even to put it into practice. We do every day. For all of us, we live as believing Catholics. But we ask so to venerate the mysteries as to feel the fruit of them, fruit of the redemption, which means salvation at my last hour, which means friendship with God every hour of every day. Friendship? Well, there's far more than that on offer here. God became man. St. Thomas Aquinas says this in his teaching on Corpus Christi. God became man that man might become God. That's an awesome thought. What governments and oligarchs and bankers and petty officials and all of us, whenever we're tempted to commit a sin, try to steal, which means to play God, God gives us in the sacrament for free. The Holy Eucharist is God food. It enables us to share in God's nature, to do what God does for all eternity. And your life then will have no end. This is God's plan. This is the only reset which is on the table. And today, and at every benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, we ask to have it all and more, to know it and to rejoice in it. That's the Holy Ghost's gift of understanding, one of the seven gifts you children received at your confirmation. Understanding is something akin to the joy of ownership. And what do we own? The doctrines of our faith. Corpus Christi is no fairy tale, but it is an attempt to make this wish come true by stirring up our love for our Lord in his Blessed Sacrament. This feast is designed to fill us with holy joy, one of the 12 fruits of the Holy Ghost we'll hear about this summer in one of the epistles. You don't get too far in life, not a good life, without joy. And that's why we sing in the sequence every day this great feast of God. Let the praise be loud and high, sweet and tranquil be the joy felt today in every breast on this festival divine, which records the origin of the glorious Eucharist. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.